The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The dominion of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went about 9 o'clock, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. And when he came out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' And when those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But the owner replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take the belongs to you and go. I choose to give this to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Well, while Abby and I were in Minnesota visiting my family, I played a game of Monopoly with my cousins, and I have never played the game of Monopoly for a while, and I have never played in such interesting circumstances. It was quite epic, to say the least. I quickly found out the competitiveness of Carl, my cousin, and Tom, who was married to my other cousin, some of you who know Pastor Kirsten, who came here last year and preached. Carl and Tom were, shall we say, sly bargainers, and instantly began negotiating with one another and the other players. And I soon found out after, you know, confidently landing on 2 utilities and 2 railroads, I thought I had a chance. But I found out that, you know, trading and deals can get you on the top quite quickly. And soon Tom and Carl both had immense piles of cash, leaving me thinking, I guess I shouldn't have made those deals which I thought were to my advantage. Of course, my cousin Kirsten and I were quickly mortgaging properties and struggling to stay alive while the two titans dueled. You can probably guess how the game ended. Monopoly, a game that came into popularity in 1935 in the depths of the American Depression, demonstrates how, with a combination of luck and skill, one can maximize their properties and income in order to put everyone else into bankruptcy. In many ways, one could say that the time that Jesus lived and walked the earth was similar to that of Parker Brothers' Monopoly. Several small groups of people held great monopolies. In fact, if you were related or friends to a ruler in that time period, you tended to do quite well. In fact, the Sadducees, the priests, and the rulers of the temple in Jerusalem, we know from historical records, were quite close to Herod, the ruling king of Israel, with allegiances to Rome, even trying to go so far as taking a tax for Rome within the temple compounds. And of course, the feudal system was alive and well in the time of Jesus. And enslaved many families by this monopoly structure for generations. So with all of this as background and context, you get this very interesting parable from Jesus, usually referred to as the parable of the vineyard workers. So what was Jesus getting at here, I wonder? You know, my grandfather, Grandpa Joe, as we referred to him, who passed away several years ago, who was a military chaplain, I remember, mentioned to me once that this was one of the most challenging of Jesus' parables for him. It's just not fair, I remember him saying to me as a kid, him reflecting on it. And you know what? I think he's right. It isn't fair. Not many of us, I think, would appreciate working out in the field all day long in temperatures close to 100 degrees. Remember, this is the desert. Only to find someone else spending only 1 hour in the field and making the exact same wage? I know I would probably say, this is crap, or some other expletive. And I'm sure many of you would be with me. But is this the type of fairness that Jesus is talking about? Karl Marx and his followers, yes, the same Karl Marx who labeled religion as an opiate for the masses, loved this story and this parable. And in his words, it demonstrates, quote, rebuking economic practices of his day as he foresaw a society of simple communism ruled by God. Well, many pastors, I think, have preached this text in light of Marx's commentary as solely a critique on the American, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps mentality, right? I think we've heard that sermon quite a lot. And I do think that Jesus is making a statement here against the monopolistic structure of his time, but it would be a mistake for us to treat this powerful parable as simply a political statement. That, I believe, cheapens it, actually, quite considerably. So, what do we do with this hard piece of scripture? Well, I think my Grandpa Joe was right that there is a fairness component to this parable. But I think we can miss where and how that fairness is played out. Most Americans, including myself, automatically skip into the siding with the full-day workers, right? They worked their buns off, come on, the whole day, and didn't see any compensation for that. For us, in our American context, that is untenable. But what we tend to forget is what it actually says in the text. After agreeing with the laborers on the usual daily wage, the landowner offered a fair daily wage, and the laborers agreed to that wage. So the landowner wasn't skimping or cheating on payments. It was a fair daily wage that was agreed to. And furthermore, the landowner goes out again and tells the second group of workers, you also go into the vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right. And then the landowner goes out again and again and hires more and more workers. This, to me, is the important pattern. To me, this isn't a parable about workers getting cheated or strictly about communism. This is a parable about a landowner who hires. You want a job? You got one. and a fair wage at that. Why are you standing here idle all day? The landowner asks. They said to him, because no one has hired us. And so he said to them, you also go into the vineyard. Think about this for just a second. What does it mean for everyone who comes is hired? I don't know any company that would do such a thing. Everyone who comes is hired. Think of how radical that is in our context. Maybe the focus of this parable needs to be one on a generous God who, like the landowner, offers life and hope to everyone, no matter who you are. So where does fairness then come in this story? Should the workers working all day getting paid the same seem as unfair? Or instead, should fairness be seen as the ones who wanted to work the whole day, but who couldn't get to the landowner to be hired? Who were these workers? Were they on the social margins? Were they the drunks? Were they the prostitutes? Were they sickly or handicapped or having some kind of condition that prevented them from society having anything to do with them? Certainly, whomever they were, the landowner didn't seem to care. They were hired anyway. The Missoula Interfaith Collaborative has started a new social enterprise. And for those of you who don't know, the Missoula Interfaith Collaborative is this collaborative of different faith communities, this congregation being part of that, doing things in the community to better the community. And one of the things that they have spun off is this social enterprise called Missoula Works. The concept of this organization is very simple. Anyone can work with the right support. So Missoula Works focuses on getting work for people just out of prison, or with a history of drug and alcohol abuse, or with a mental or physical challenge. And it has more people to place than it has jobs currently. So what it's done is be creative in how it hires the people that it needs to hire. So one of the things that it's done is it's spun off this crew called the Get It Done Crew, which does anything from lawn care and landscaping to basic home improvement projects. And along with this, they provide special care and supervision and support to their employees, so everyone employed through their agency has a real chance of success. So if you have a project that they might be able to tackle, give them a call. You can talk to me or call the Missoula Interfaith Collaborative office and they'll put you through. So where does this parable end as a calling for us as Christians? Think about this. Maybe our calling in our faith journey is to simply get people to the vineyard owner. If God, out of pure grace and love, will hire anyone, then maybe all we need to do is get a person to show up. Maybe it means suggesting someone for Missoula Works to hire, or call them up because you have a job or project around your house. Maybe it means bringing someone to church with you or checking up on someone you haven't heard from lately. Anyone who comes and wants to work has a job. Thanks be to God. What a glorious thing to celebrate. That is radical love and generosity. Thanks be to God, to an incredible, generous God who always has the hiring sign hanging up outside. And may we, in following the Holy Spirit, be able to encourage people to come check it out. Amen.